Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, Keithtronics? Sorry, it's been a long time since we recorded.
It has been a long time. You're not used to being on the radio, too.
I'm so scared. So scared. Yeah, the last time we recorded, I looked it up, was like March 8th. That was our first episode of this. It was our first episode of the season. So welcome to episode two.
Yeah, I opted to just get rid of season three entirely. So season three is one episode long, and this is the start of season four.
Maybe we should do that. But maybe we should do that.
I think that's what we should do. It's a long enough hiatus that this is season four now.
Just a lost episode of season three. It's like a Star Wars holiday special.
I'll keep it up there. We're not deleting WebSocket. Yeah, I'm staying up.
For sure. So how are things, man? Why such a delay? Has anything happened in your world?
I had a baby, and she was a little bit premature, 4.5 pounds, baby girl, on the 26th of March. But yeah, congrats, it's been, man. Just parenting has kind of been getting in the way since then. From
I wouldn't say it's getting in accomplishing the way.
Well, I mean, Chronic would say that, though. If it were personified, right? That would be its thing. Is like, there's this baby now.
Oh.
And I was just put out to pasture.
Oh, little baby Chronic wouldn't be jealous of the real baby.
Little baby Chronic. Yeah. So things are okay, though. She's had some struggles and that we've been dealing with. Nothing like super serious.
Because of the premature.
It's basically... I don't even know if it's the premature thing. I don't even think I've talked to you about this recently, but she had like an undiagnosed tongue and lip tie that was just making it really hard for her to eat. So we had to deal with that, but it's like we didn't catch that until the 6 month mark. So we've been really struggling to get her to like gain weight properly, and just nursing's been a real struggle. And she literally anatomically couldn't take a bottle.
She was literally tongue tied.
Yeah, so, but you wouldn't know, like, it was actually the lip was more the problem than anything else. Mm-hmm, so we've been dealing with that, and we're a couple of weeks post surgery or operation, whatever you want to call it, for that. And she's doing quite a bit better, and we're seeing some progress. So
that's good.
Got us hopeful, but I've been sleep deprived for 6 months, and
dude, I couldn't imagine.
Turns out I'm way less productive if I do not have enough sleep.
Well, yeah, that's science. Science is
yeah, it is science. When I was talking to somebody about this, I'm like, I think having really good sleep hygiene prior to having a baby rocked my world more than like, you know, your average person who decides not to sleep enough, like willingly, they just stay up too late or whatever. I'm like, I intentionally got enough sleep so that I would like maximize my capabilities, and you know, because I'm a nerd like that. And so yeah, having a baby has jacked stuff up. It's like I maybe get 6 hours a day if I'm lucky, but that's like not what my body wants. And the other day I got legitimately 8 hours of sleep, and I did like probably three times as much work at work that day as I have done most other days, just because of the performance benefits of sleeping enough.
Have you read Why We Sleep, the book?
I have not.
I haven't read it yet either, but I hear really good things about that book. So it's on my list, but I haven't read it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, dude, having babies, you can't really prepare for that. I imagine like you're, because I remember, I mean, my daughter's five, so it's not that long ago, but I remember like only going through like 3 or 4 months of that. Like yours has to probably be prolonged because of the complications and stuff. So
yeah, because she wasn't gaining enough weight, we've had to consistently wake her up throughout the night to feed her to make sure she eats enough. So it's like we're in this situation where it's like she actually sleeps like a rock, but we have to wake her up to make sure she gets enough food, otherwise she will like lose weight, and that's not what we want. So
no, it's the opposite of what
it's been pretty annoying, but it's looking like it's on the up and up, so we're hopeful things are going all right. And she's an awesome baby otherwise. Like, there was actually part of the reason why this wasn't discovered for as long as it was, is that she's just a really happy, good baby. Like, she's just always happy, doesn't really cry.
You better knock on some wood,
enjoys life, but
you better knock on some wood, man. That's cool, man. So hence why we're recording now, maybe. Is that
Yeah, things are getting better. Yeah. So that's why we're able to record, as I'm feeling like I'm actually going to be capable of accomplishing things now again, because legitimately I haven't done anything for chronic in the last 6 months, really. You and I have paired a couple times in there and to work through some things, and we can talk about what we were doing with that specifically on the, like, the Mac app side. I can talk to more than anything else, but besides that, it's like I haven't really done anything. I think the last commit to the chronic Mac app was like 4 months ago. Yeah. And that's it's a little painful. That was back when I was on paternity leave, and I was like, oh dude, paternity leave,
oh, I'm gonna get 8 weeks
off. Right. I'm gonna get so much done, is what I said to myself. I'm an idiot. And yeah, that is not how it works.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's cool. I haven't really been doing that much either. I've actually been taking, like, I took the summer off from a lot of work. I just wasn't feeling it. Wasn't really feeling the extra work. And honestly, with my client work, I'm only working like 12 days a month. So I took a lot of time off, family stuff, did some vacations. So I've been itching and ready to get back to it. And I have been over the past month or so, but we can talk about that as well. But yeah, I've just kind of taken it easy over the summer. And now depressing, crappy winter is coming. So that's my productive time, because I just stay inside and program. So looking forward to nice. That. On Chronic, I've been working a lot really on the UI side of things. I did a bunch of Figma mockups and wireframes or whatever, just to kind of play around with some different user interfaces and trying to make the app more fun to use, less utilitarian. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've come up with, I don't know if I've talked about it previously, but came up with this idea really based off the Spotify UI of, like, playing. If you ever see the Spotify UI of the playing of a song,
music where
they
video.
Yeah, well, sometimes they have the music video in the background, which is really what I like. So the music controls will be over the video. The video will be playing in the background. It's really not synced to the music. They just kind of play the video in the background. I think that's pretty neat. And they do like a little gradient over the top of that, so you can see the controls and the album information on top of whatever is underneath. And so I've been working on what that would look like in our timer UI, and went out and tried to hire a contractor to work on the actual background implementation of ours. We have this idea of slowly fading in an image over time as the timer goes on, and being used as the progress of your timer. And we have some different effects and stuff on how we can slowly fade in the image using like line art or slowly revealing the image in multiple different ways. So we went out and I looked for a contractor that I knew about who's really good with JavaScript side of things, because that's how we feel it's going to be implemented. And met with them. I wrote up a first pitch for application. If I don't know if you've read Basecamp's Shape Up.
I have not read it yet. Yeah. That's free though, right? I can just go online and read it.
Yeah, it's amazing in terms of like project management. And they had this idea of a pitch. So any feature that goes into Basecamp first gets written up as a pitch, like why you want it, why it's useful, what your appetite is for it. So instead of like estimating it, what are you willing to spend on it so that you can decide when the feature is over? You can always work on the feature again, but the feature that you work on needs to be shippable within that given time frame. And they do 2 week cycles and 6 week cycles.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that they worked more on like time. Like they don't say like a specific set of features. It's like, it's sort of whatever we build out by a certain date. Like as right. long as we build it in units that are cohesive, then we should feel okay kind of shipping it.
Yep. And then, that has to be shipped at the end of that. And that means like shipped, like if they're supporting like marketing feature, marketing stuff that needs to happen with it, or documentation or anything like that. It needs to be shipped. And if it's not shipped, it immediately doesn't get shipped. Like that's the default. Like they don't say, oh, we'll add 6 more weeks or we'll add 2 more weeks. They just automatically pull the plug on it. And then it needs to be repitched after that. Yeah. Which is brilliant.
Because wait, so you have to repitch it. And then do they work off the same slate? Like they can work off their previous work? Or is it one of those things like, never mind, guys, we have to do this whole thing from scratch?
No, they work off. I would imagine they work. I don't think they talk about that, but I would imagine they work off of their previous stuff. They also have this thing called hill charts in Basecamp, which they use. And I really like this concept as well. But hill charts allow you to basically drag like a little dot up a hill, like a literal hill on the UI. And it's not based on how many tasks or how many tasks you completed or anything like that. It's just based on your feeling of how things are done. And the top of the hill, it means like all the unknowns are known. Like it's all downhill from here, right? We know how to implement these things. Mm-hmm. We know how to, you know, interface with this API, blah, blah, blah. And so if they're at the top of the hill and you know, they're 6 weeks is up, they may extend it for like another week. But if they're not at the top of the hill, there's still some unknowns. They just immediately say, no, this has gone on too far. And they give some examples in the book of when they've done that. And it usually comes back to things weren't shaped up enough. So when they did the original pitch, there was some ambiguity about the feature or
ambiguity.
Yeah. Whatever that word is. Anyway, I wrote up our first one. Just for a contractor and met with them. They were supposed to give me back some stuff. They haven't. So I think I'm going to move forward and just work on this feature ourselves, which is what I wanted to talk to you about. Is I would like to pair with you on that, at least in the beginning, so we can kind of decide what that tech is that we use and how it's going to be implemented, because it needs to work on multiple platforms, you know, Mac and Android, iOS. You know, all these different platforms, maybe even like the Alexa Show, you know, so we have to think about these kind of obscure platforms where we don't have as much control over stuff. So, so most of my work has been updating the UI to handle these, we're calling them active backgrounds, or I'm calling it an active background.
That works for me.
Yeah. And, just so we name the feature and we can talk about it. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been working on, is rearranging kind of the how things are built on the iOS side, mainly just concentrating on the mobile UI, not really the full-blown Mac or web-based UI yet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I've been working on the past couple months on and off on Chronic.
Yeah, it's that I think the designs that you made in Figma look really good. And I'm kind of excited just based on what we've sort of, through you going through and making the pitch for the active backgrounds feature, kind of us teasing out the reasonable implementation for it. Because I was sort of overthinking it the first time we did it. I was like, dude, I don't think we're going to be able to do this because we have, you know, people can create timers of whatever length they want. Yep. So it's not like we can just, you know, add a, you know, ship one particular video with this thing and use it for all things or whatever. So yeah, I was really getting stuck in the, some technical weeds there that really didn't exist. It was just whatever my mind had locked onto at the moment. So just that pitch kind of helped facilitate thinking through that and really understanding what was a good way of going about it. And a little bit of information you had gotten back from the contractor, sort of like, oh, duh, that does kind of make sense. Yeah. The way he worded it made a lot more sense to me.
Yep.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I like that. I like going through that exercise as well. Cause it also like showed me how like, why are we doing this feature? And is this truly something that we want to like invest in? I think it is, because I think, that sort of like playfulness game aspects of an application are really underrated, especially in the like Pomodoro app space. Some of these apps are just plain ass ugly. Sure, they do the job,
yeah,
but they're not fun to use. And I think when you're like trying to get somebody to implement like a focused, timed interval way of working, getting somebody that wants to use the application instead of saying, "Oh, I have to use this." It will help facilitate that along. It'll mm-hmm. it'll be worth it. So we've kind of attached the appetite of like 1 week to it. Of course, it's 1 week of full-time work, but I like that idea. Like that's how much I was willing to pay a contractor for. So okay. That was kind of, I think that's the appetite we should also shoot for.
Okay. So shoot for 40 hours of work.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. Why not? We probably spent 40 hours total on it whole year. So we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like at this point. Yeah. But yeah. So on the Mac side of things, I don't have as much to talk about because in terms of functionality, I haven't really added anything to it in quite some time. But we had a long stretch throughout the beginning of my paternity leave and kind of continuing on where we were trying to get the deployment of everything figured out. And this happened with the mobile app too. You actually put in a lot of work to build out a sort of continuous deployment chain that involved a lot of different moving parts and was pretty complicated. And we paired on that to work through it a little bit. And if you want to talk about that, we can.
Yeah, we can. I totally forgot about that because, oh my God, that was a lot of work, but I'm happy where we ended with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I basically did a mix of, we're using Expo, which is helps facilitate this a lot because you can build the IPA, the thing that needs to get deployed to the app store. You can build that on Expo servers and you can get that IPA locally. And then you can we have it set up using Fast Tools, which is an open source tooling around building and deploying.
Wait, Fastlane, did they rename Fastlane. The project?
Sorry, what did I say?
You said Fast Tools?
Fastlane, whatever.
Okay, so Fastlane.
Fastlane. I think Dot Tool is there. Dot Tool is there.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Is there a TLD? But yeah, so we can version it. We pull down our changelog notes that are deployed with the repo. Those get attached to the what to test section in TestFlight. It gets uploaded to TestFlight and everybody gets notified. So anytime we merge into master, all of that kind of happens automatically. So we can add testers and things like that in the future when we release our alpha and people will get these update notifications in TestFlight. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty automatic. I wanted it that way so that we don't really need to worry about that in the future, but it was a pain in the ass to get set up. We're also using Mac Stadium to build these, to do some of these, some of the Fastlane stuff needs to run on a Mac because it needs to have Xcode and things like that. So this runs on a platform called Mac Stadium and we are using GitLab. So we're using GitLab's CI tools on Mac Stadium to kind of run this automatically. So I plan on doing probably a blog post around all of this in the near future. So that others
can. Yeah, I mean, it could be good just to write down for your own sake if you work on any more React Native projects in the future.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was definitely weird to get through originally because we ran into a bunch of bugs related to the fact that Fastlane is basically assuming that it's running on a Mac,
right.
But it will not fail if it's not running on a Mac. So we were trying to run it on the actual Linux nodes that were spun up through GitLab CI, and we were getting completely undecipherable errors.
Right.
Because of error handling that they're doing internally. And then we ended up digging through the source and figuring out that they had like hard-coded paths to things on the Mac file system to do things. And then we're swallowing errors when those files weren't. Yeah, actually there. And it was tough to debug, but I'm glad we got through it.
Yeah. And then the funny thing was we did a lot of that because uploading Expo would give you the IPA and then it was up to you to kind of somehow get it onto TestFlight. And then since we created this, there's Expo has tooling to upload your IPA right to the app stores. Now I haven't looked into that too much, so I don't know if it's like the actual app store or if it's TestFlight. Or if you have your choice, but that may have saved us a little bit of trouble. But I do like how we pull in the change log and everything like that, which is not built into Expo, obviously. So yeah, I plan on writing this up just because we spent, I don't know, I'd probably say 20, 30 hours on this. So we can hopefully save other people 20, 30 hours on doing this.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So you were talking about the Mac. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the Mac side of things, it's kind of related. We were only really concerned with the deployment side of things that I still haven't quite fixed. And a little bit of that is because I upgraded to Catalina and hosed my my entire install. So I have a clean install of Catalina, and I haven't gone and tried to export the application again. But we really ran into the fact that, dude, Mac app tooling sucks. It is rough, dude. Like, I don't know how, like, the App Store ever became as popular as it is based on how Apple has designed their tools for developers. They're so god awful.
Are you talking about, like, Xcode, or are you talking about, like...
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, Xcode and the whole, like, oh, you got to download the certificate and the provisioning profile. And I'm basically, like, iTunes Connect, or whatever the heck they call it now, is the most idiotic thing I've ever worked with. And I mean, I'm sure they're geniuses behind the scenes, figured things out. There's great reasons for these things, but like, there's a ton of machinery that doesn't need to be exposed to the developers that are using these things. Yeah. If it's just for the sake of Apple getting some security around these things, they can do them automatically. And like, we ran into an issue where I legitimately spent hours and hours trying to figure out why I couldn't create a specific type of cert inside of iTunes Connect, even though I had the permissions that the error message was telling me I needed in order to create this thing. And then I talked to customer support, and then they point me to some documentation that says I need to be the account holder,
yeah,
and not an admin of the thing. And I'm like, well, then don't have the error message tell me I need to be a team admin, because I am.
Yeah.
Like, this, you just wasted a ton of my time because you guys couldn't like fix. There's no way I'm the only person who's ever ran into this issue. So I did say like, hey, this is a bug, like, you should fix this, when I was talking to customer support. And so they passed that on as like a radar or whatever. But yeah, just things like that. And then the last time when we tried to export the application, just like building out the bundle so I could hand Jamie a zip or whatever that had our .app in it, we ran into the issue where, you know, it had, it wouldn't let me sign it because I had not signed all of the financial agreements, apparently, but we had actually gone through and done all that. And so I haven't tried it on this Mac, and I'm curious if it was because I was still set up to be part of multiple teams that I shouldn't be part of on the previous install. So it might be resolved now, but it was just a completely weird error that we had no way of getting around. So I still don't know if we can export this thing.
Plus, working with, like, I can't imagine being part of a bigger team that has, like, if you have to work on a Mac app, even iOS, like, as a part of a bigger team, and everybody needs to have these certs, and you need to be able to sign them locally in order to develop. Like, yeah, it's a pain in the ass, man, to get all those. And the documentation sucks. They don't have any automated tooling to do this. And and there's not much on the internet to find this stuff out. So it's like, people have obviously figured this out, but nobody's sharing, like, what they've done. And yeah, I agree that was hours and hours of work of trying to figure out what the fuck was happening or what we needed.
I get to bust the bell back out.
Bing,
bing. But yeah, it was pretty rough. But on a more positive note, since I did upgrade to Catalina, I now have access to Swift UI on the Mac, which I wanted to play with the entire summer, but I couldn't because it wasn't in the original GM it wasn't in the original beta for Catalina. And at a certain point, I screwed up my wife's Mac that I had installed Catalina on. So she made me revert it to Mojave or whatever.
Yeah.
Was it Mojave? Is that right? Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so I reverted back. So I wasn't able to play with that much during the summer. So over the last couple of days, I've toyed around a little bit with that. And man, that is gonna be awesome to not need storyboards for anything, to be able to like declaratively specify things in code is going to be amazing,
with attributes instead of like long ass methods off of some.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little bit complicated when you see, because it's like the attributes, it's all order dependent is a thing, because like it's declarative in the sense that like it goes through a pipeline of transforms basically to generate the view that you're working on. So there's like little learning curves in there that I'm going to have to work through for sure, but I'm very excited to kind of move us over. And since this thing's probably not going to be shipped to the public for a little while, I'm probably safe to get us on Catalina as like the base for when we're actually going to be setting this out for people to install, to like just require 10.15 is probably going to be safe by the time we're ready to launch. And so that has me kind of excited, because if we weren't, then I'd be kind of screwed either way. Like, I wouldn't be able to use Swift UI, but that's not my focus right now. I want to get this thing built and have our automated deployments kind of rolling before I upgrade us to Swift 5.1 or whatever and Swift UI. But that's sort of where I'm at now.
Cool. Yeah. So your next idea or your next task is to get the deployment working. And then I want to pair with you on the active background stuff. So that'll probably get us to our next podcast. One thing that I'm excited about, like, working, my goal is to really have a lot of this done by the end of the year. And I'm doing a few things to help that. One, I'm done with my last talk of the year. That took up a lot of time. I worked on a workshop that I gave at a couple conferences. And this was like a full-blown React Native application with like an Elixir API, similar to what we're building with Chronic, but I had to build like a whole new application from scratch and come up with a workshop. And so that took hours and hours and hours. And then I did some other talks as well. So I'm happy that the rest of my year is like done with talks, and I'm only going to do a few. I've only submitted to a few at the beginning of next year. So that'll help free up some time. And then the other thing I'm going to do is, after Tuesday, I'm going to be off of all social media for the rest of the year. So I'm worried. my addiction, I'm starting to shake already. But Twitter and Instagram and all that bullshit take up like so much of my time. When I look at that stupid screen time every week and I see like an average of like 2.5 hours a day on this stuff, it's like, that's so much time that I could be using to be actually producing shit. So I'll probably still use Twitter just to like talk about Chronic and talk about things I'm doing, but I'm not going to kind of like read Twitter like I do every day and respond.
How are you going to manage that? Are you going to just have a write-only version of things?
So this is
like do a microblog setup?
This is an app that I want to exist. This is another, like, don't start writing this, but I want a write-only Twitter. I came up with this, like, I was going to call it Toot. Just a write-only version of Twitter that all you can do is write stuff out, and the only updates that you get are actions that people took on stuff that you wrote. So if they liked it or if they replied to something that you wrote, you could see that and reply to them. But besides that, you don't see any of Twitter. So if you want to build that with me after maybe Chronic, that would be a good idea.
Well, they have things where technically this would be a Twitter client, I think. So like, I don't know if they would allow it. There's a certain number of users you can have. They have really weird rules about Twitter clients now, but maybe not though, since it would be mostly write.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. Have you ever followed Manton Reese?
No.
So I listened to the Core Intuition podcast, which is like a Mac development or iOS centric podcast. But Manton Reese is a guy who built Tweetmarker. Remember back when we used to use that?
I still use that.
He's that guy.
I still use that over.
Oh, does it still exist?
Yeah. Tweetbot. You can either use iCloud or Tweetmarker still to. And gotcha. I still think Tweetmarker is more reliable. I've had issues with iCloud, but I don't know why. But.
Yeah. No, that's what I thought for a long time, too. But yeah, so he built Tweetmarker. He doesn't use Twitter anymore. And he built micro.blog as a it's basically like.
I just signed up for that like literally yesterday.
Gotcha. So he's the guy behind that. But this is basically what he was trying to solve. Is he thinks you should own your content.
Right.
But sometimes you still want it to be on Twitter, basically, was what he was going for. And he kind of missed the old days of when Twitter was just like little chunks of things that could basically be micro blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think that's kind of the direction you would go, because it's all like that's a lot more creation centric than it would necessarily be on the consumption end. So I think if you're going to be doing a social media fast, but you still want to have a presence on social media, which is good, I would think, as a consultant anyways, to show that you exist in the world, mm-hmm. right? Like, people find you in certain ways.
Yeah,
like that.
But like, I haven't like, dude, I've been on Twitter since like 2006. I'm like the 40,000th user or something, maybe 20,000. I don't remember, but the number of followers that I've received from that has stayed the same. And it's like, how valuable is this really to my day-to-day life? Like, four people are going to see this when I post something, you know what I mean? 'Cause not everybody's going to see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I question the value for me. Like, if you have lots of followers and all that stuff, you can basically do anything and make money. So, but it, those people that do that got there through hard work and on Twitter and being valuable and being all that stuff. So that's why I still tend to write on Twitter, but replying and interacting with a lot of people, I just don't, I can have my time spent in much more valuable ways. Creating stuff and putting that out there is much more valuable than writing some stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was saying. I was saying being able to author things on Twitter is going to be more valuable to you than actually reading other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think being willing to write things, especially if it's, you know, about you working on a project, while you're working on that project with all the time you saved not being on Twitter, I think that's a huge net win.
Yep.
And maybe I'll follow suit. I'll do something similar to where I'm only going to tweet if I am adding some sort of value to people.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go down that path, which I did. Like, did you see my thing the other day about, what did I have? Oh, I had like a little Git tip that I had posted
I retweeted it.
Came up and that thing was sweet. I was like, I knew there was like, this is something I've wanted forever, is to be able to create like a template file in your repo that you can then change, but it never be tracked. So yeah, it was pretty cool to figure that out.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of weird esoteric things inside of, Git, and I guess I probably could have talked to Magnus and figured it out a long time ago, but yeah, this works out. But we're getting to the end of our time here, and I had wanted to talk about conference talk stuff, but maybe we will have to do that as like a mini podcast episode or something some other time, because they're a little time sensitive because they're CFPs.
Yeah, I'm down to, we can talk about that and maybe throw that out on a podcast as well. But yeah, I think we should wrap this one up.
Well, cool. All right. Well, we're going to talk in 2 weeks, because we're not going to give ourselves the opportunity to just cancel. If we haven't accomplished anything, we will find things to talk about, or at least talk about why we haven't accomplished things. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds good, man.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.